feeling was mutual. It had been that way for centuries. No one knew for sure where or how or when this ill will got started. But you know, that no longer mattered. Because each generation on each side had their own reasons for bitterness and hatred towards the other side. Insults and injuries were volleyed back and forth like a ball in a tennis ball match. Each side saw themselves as the offended rather than the offender, and they felt more than justified in their contempt for the other. Today's gospel reading tells of a day when Jesus and his disciples were on the receiving end of that resentment. They were on their way to Jerusalem, and which carried them through that little country of Samaria. And they had planned to stop in a particular Samaritan town. But the people of that town refused to allow them to stay because they were Jews on their way to Jerusalem. James and John, who by the way were nicknamed the Sons of Thunder, were absolutely furious. And they wanted to invoke fire to come down from heaven and destroy that town and all of its inhabitants. But Jesus, of course, would have no part of that. His only reaction was to reprimand his two hot-headed friends, and then he calmly, but no doubt sadly, walked from that bigoted community onto another town. Now, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus had said, "If anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other one also." And that day in Samaria, when he bore an insult without retaliation, he showed his disciples the meaning of that principle. You see, Jesus knew that the only one way to break the vicious cycle of resentment was for someone to refuse to strike back. And he chose to be that someone. You know, I think I'm pretty safe in saying that most of us have never really believed that concept. We all know it, but I don't think we really believe it. At least we have not believed it enough to actually put it into practice. Our ethic still bears a striking resemblance to the ancient law of retaliation. An eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. We answer evil with evil, bitterness with bitterness, hatred with hatred, insult with insult. And this process is at work everywhere in the world, between nations, between races, between religions. Now, you and I can excuse ourselves by pointing out that there's really little or nothing that we can do about international affairs. I mean, our hands are not on those levers of power that cause these gigantic events. And admittedly, this is true. But we absolutely cannot abandon the field. If sanity is ever to prevail in the world, it surely will begin as a grassroots movement among people. But we most certainly cannot escape the application of this principle in our personal relationships. But you know, there too, we tend to operate on the basis of retaliation. If the store clerk is rude to me, well, then I'm going to be rude to her. If the driver of another car blasts his horn at me, then I'm going to blast my horn back. If a co-worker is unfair to me, I'll try to figure out some little way to get even. If a husband or a wife or a brother or a sister is unkind to me, I shall make it my business to be equally unkind to them. Well, that is the way people have responded since time immemorial. Evil for evil, insult for insult, blow for blow. And look at what it has gotten. A deeply divided world, half paralyzed with fear. And Jesus had the wisdom to see that resentment is an endless thing until someone has the courage to break the cycle. And he had that courage. When the people of that Samaritan village scornfully closed their gates in his face, he refused to retaliate. Instead, he quietly walked on to another town. Now, whether or not that principle will appeal to us depends a good deal on what we are after. Let's say, for example, that someone has done you wrong, and there's no question about it. That other person is at fault. He or she was the offender, and I am the offender. The offended. Now, what do you want to come of that? Do you want revenge? That appears, unfortunately, to be a very human thing. Do you want your pride vindicated? Would you like to prove that you are a powerful person who is not to be trifled with? And if, in fact, these are your concerns, then you will not be interested in the way that Jesus responded to personal abuse. He felt no need for revenge. Retaliation was the farthest thing from his mind. His concern was to break the cycle of bitterness and hatred and resentment. What did it matter that one Samaritan village had slammed its gates in his face? Their rudeness was just one more blow that was struck in a battle that had been going on for centuries. And it was not just Jews against Samaritans and Samaritans against Jews. It was people against people. Brother against brother, insult for insult, hatred for hatred. I mean, on and on it has gone since the dawn of creation. His commitment was to break the cycle of this evil thing and banish it from the face of the earth, even if it meant taking it all upon himself and dying for it. If we take that objective into account, then the method that Jesus used was absolutely inevitable. I mean, what else could he do? What else can anyone do? This insane process of bitterness and hatred will go on forever, until somebody finds the courage to break that cycle. Now, Jesus had that courage. And the question is, who he?